Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody under the sound of my voice, right now we're just going to worship God. I don't care what you're going through, let's just saturate the place with worship. Let's saturate your cars, your houses. Offer it up to Him right now. Whatever you're dealing with, just give it to Him right now. I guarantee you in this moment, if you give it up, He will give it to you.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, KL, amen, amen, amen. Well, we on the line, or we on the, amen, well, we on, amen, in Jesus' name. I'd like to welcome everybody to the mantle of God, amen. A little rough start, amen. The weather is acting crazy, but I trust that wherever you at this evening that you're in good hands. I'm your host, Minister Faith Walker, amen. On the mantle of God tonight, we're going to be talking to our brother who's already on the line, him and his wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and our brother K.L. Belvin, amen. We'll be talking about reality and relationships. But we're going to go into a word of prayer. Let's sanctify these lines in the name of Jesus Christ. Also open up with our scripture for tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we come against everything on these airwaves, Lord God. Lord God, even the weather, Lord God, many experiencing heavy weather where they're at, Lord God. I trust that they be anointed, Lord God, to receive what is released tonight, Lord God. Allow your people to be empowered and illuminated through thy truth, Lord God. Allow the women to be empowered, Lord God. Let all questions be answered, Lord God. Lord God, soothe heavy hearts, Lord God. Break chains, Lord God. Let the man of God rise up, Lord God. Let that king be established tonight. Let that queen be established tonight, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. We come against anything that's not of you, Lord God, all confusion, Lord God. We bind it by the authority of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And we loose love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all fruits of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Our scripture reading for tonight will be coming from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 25. And it reads, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And so whosoever Adam called every living thing, every creature, the name was therein. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her into the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, there shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife were not ashamed." Amen. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking to a couple who definitely is not ashamed. I'm talking about no other than my brother and sister, amen, K.L. Belvin and his wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Amen. They are the reality relationship experts. Amen. Brother KL and his wife Tiffany are CEOs of Braven Publishing. This is where writing comes from the heart the way that it should be. It's also home of Wordplay 1 and Wordplay 2, Foundations of the Soul, which yours truly is included in. KL is the author of also A Man in Transition. Amen. It was written as this brother began his transition, amen, from going from Gigolo to Jesus, which is his next book. From Gigolo to Jesus, it talks about various escapades, amen, from a lot of promiscuous living, a lot of creeping, a lot of play, a lot of Mac Daddy, and a woman that stood by him through all of this. I'm talking about his wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, amen. Amen. Well, along with his wife, amen, they're taking back what the devil stole, amen. They're making marriage cool again with their teaching series. And also, Sister Queen Tiffany Braxton Belvin is a 2013 pageant plus-size queen. But she was queen long before she graced the stage, and you'll find out once you read Gigolo to Jesus, the woman that stands by my brother, K.L. Belvin. Now, the highly anticipated self-help book, Stop Doggy Posing, is a woman's guide to recovering of her dignity. So now K.L. Belvin and Queen Tiffany Braxton Belvin, they are also the hosts of GQ Palace's very own Reality and Relationships, Thursdays at 8 o'clock, amen. You make sure you come over to the men's room after you finish at 9 o'clock, amen. But right now, we're joined by K.L. Belvin and his wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Brother K.L., are you there?
Yes, sir. How we doing, my brother? God bless.
Man, God bless you, man of God. It's an honor and privilege to have you on this show tonight. The lines are packed. Amen. We're gassed up. We're ready to go. Amen. How you doing?
And I can't call it, man. I'm good. I'm here. I opened my eyes this morning, so there's no complaints from me, because the Lord doesn't require that. He needs us to stay focused, so that's what I'm attempting to do.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we're going to jump right into it. Amen. The sisters have informed me that the question is going to be straight, no chaser tonight, amen. I think the highly voted question of the day is what I got it. Was number one. We just gonna jump right into it, brother. What makes a man who has a good woman at home go out and cheat?
Oh, easy. Greed. It's been the sense of what makes men do most of the things that they do is that you could have everything and still want more simply because, you know, that human part of us that we have that we don't many of us don't deal with is that we haven't learned to be satisfied with enough. I mean, it speaks about in the Bible. Israel had manna, but they complained and wanted meat. They wanted more. So even when the Lord provided them with protection, provided them with something, with sustenance, they still wanted more, and the Lord gave them more, and yet there still was backbiting. So there's no difference years or thousands of years later. I was as lost as any man that's out there in the flesh. Once you taste someone else's fruits, it don't stop there. So having a great woman at home, well, that was just one part of it. But once you're out there, it's like anything else. You're going to keep being out there. So why do men cheat? Because men don't know how to deal with just having enough, being comfortable with enough, learning to take care of what they were given instead of wanting more that they can't have. And the devil actually feeds right into it. In this world, he makes you believe that you can have what you want. Do what you want, long as nobody knows. You even got made-up signs. Well, go on in Sin City, stay in Sin City. Well, go on in Vegas, stay in Vegas. Fake it till you make it. All these things that promote lying to yourself and lying to the Lord. So why do men cheat? Because the Lord is absent in their life.
But you know what, Brother KL? You know, our sisters, they be like, look, KL, KL, Faith Walker, I hear y'all brothers talking. I cook for this man, okay? I'm devoted. I handle my wifely duties in the bedroom, okay? He comes home from work. I got his slippers, his paper, whatever. I don't give him no junk, but this man still feels the need to go out and disrespect me, disrespect the queen that I am, and just dishonor me in the street like it's totally reckless. How would you say to a woman who come to you with that question?
Well, first of all, being able to get past that is not for everybody. So let me just make that statement first. In fact, my girlfriend, now wife, the fact that we were able to overcome that when we were dating.
Right.
Because that's how the Lord built her. So when she found the Lord, her conversation with the Lord, her body of work with the Lord, her walk with the Lord, allowed her to see things in me when I was in the midst of my struggle with trying to find myself, and she was able to see past that. Not every woman is built that way. And I would tell any woman, if you can't see that potential in him, and you can't see him making changes to the better, it's time to just leave and trust the Lord to bring you somebody that's going to be for you. Now, one thing I do want to say is that when a man comes to you and he says, sweetheart, I've changed. Sweetheart, I'll never do it again. Sweetheart, I'm a different man. Here's the thing. If he's not connected to something greater than himself, don't even listen. And what I mean by that is, if he has not found the Lord and is showing you that he is working towards being better with the Lord, if he has not shown you that he's changed jobs and his current job requires him to have to act on a higher moral standard, if he's not taking care of his children the way that he's supposed to, and you see that physical change, not the verbal change, because men are going to say whatever verbally. It's a matter of seeing that physical and spiritual change in him to at least have faith enough to lean on the Lord and say, Lord, well, I see it. I see him doing it. Let me see what I could do. If you don't see those things, don't worry about the words. Close the door and just keep moving. The Lord will bring you the man that you need to have in your life. So it's not for everybody.
Okay. So why is it so hard? And this comes from the sisters, too, because, you know, what is it? So why is it so hard for a man to open up freely? Now, as far as his feelings, when they go through something, you know, as men, you know, well, baby, won't you just talk to me? Oh, I'm good right now. Just like, well, why won't you just talk to me? You know, and I told one sister, you know, because I was talking to a woman of God, and she was like, well, you know, why men do that? And I was like, well, you know, some men, we just trying to figure it out. we don't want to appear weak in front of our women, you know. So, you know, how do you feel about that, Brother K?
The first mistake is that if she's a woman, there's no such thing as appearing weak in her eyes. See, you got to learn, like what I had to learn, that when the Lord says commit to him first, then you can try to start the relationship the way that it's supposed to be. Well, you got to humble yourself to the Lord. So laying down in front of the Lord and humbling yourself in front of the Lord should mean that there should be no problem with being in a weak state with your woman if that's where you are, because she's your helpmate. She's going to help you through those weak times. She's going to help lift you up in times that you don't have it all together. And then once you're back on your feet, she's going to take her position at your side because she trusts what you do, because she sees what you do in the Lord and what you do for the Lord. See, the thing is, there are going to be times that the woman needs to be out in front, to the side, and behind. Too often, trying to push their women behind because that's the position that they feel comfortable, but it's a sense of control. But in actuality, you may need your woman out in front of you because her nurturing abilities, her healing abilities, may be needed for her to take that frontal step. And then once you've regained your balance, you've regained your footing, you step back in front of her and say, now I got you. And all of this is done in the name of the Lord. So no matter what happens, we're only physically stronger than women. We're not emotionally, mentally, or internally stronger. And we have to respect our women as equal. And when we do, you'll see that the Lord will open up doors for the two of you. So it's a matter of submitting to God first, and then there is no such thing as being weak in front of your woman, because when you are weak, she'll pick up the fire and run with it until you get back on your feet.
So why does a lot of brothers, why don't they see that woman is also a reflection? Like, if your woman is doing it big, she's your woman, she's your lady, y'all courtship for marriage, or have you made to each his own. Why do a lot of brothers have a hard time realizing that woman is a reflection of who you are, your wife? If she makes it, if she shines, you shining right along with her, vice versa. Why does a lot of brothers seem to have a hard time accepting that part?
Because a lot of them weren't taught to be real men. And they weren't taught that a man is well-rounded, a real man, well-rounded. A real man is in touch with his sensitive side and gives that to his woman with the comfort that she's not going to embarrass him or abuse him. A real man protects his woman. A real man builds his woman up. A real man knows that the better that she becomes, the better that they become, that they now are in front of the Lord. So anytime a woman has to question why her man is not assisting her to be the best she that she can be, then they really question the relationship. Because if the Lord placed you two together, then he wants you both to grow together. Not one grow exponentially and the other one not. It is to grow together. That's the reason why no one could come between what the Lord places together. But if man wants to tear it apart, well, then that's the problem with marriages now. Man destroys what God put into place.
Now, from what I understand, because I read your book, From Gigolo to Jesus, which is just phenomenal, and I just encourage all the sisters, pick up that book. You need that book in your life, Gigolo to Jesus. If you dealt with a treacherous man, if you dealt with an unfaithful man, and you really want to get into a mind of a man who was out there to live it, you can get a lot of jewels from that book. So I encourage you to get that Gigolo to Jesus at bravenpublishing.com. But your wife, she was with you through various stages. I'm talking about like the man you used to be. You know, that KL, right? That man that's dying every day. That man that's dead. You know, and she was with you during the whole transition. And I mean, I remember reading the book, and I mean, I remember just, I was like, okay, he got it together now. And I was like, huh, KL, you no man, you got it this time, right? And then it's like, you know that monster. You know that monster. You know it has a problem, dying, you know. So just speak briefly on that part of it. Just like, you know, when you were talking about earlier, baby, I ain't going to do it again. When you do it again, you know, you caught red-handed. You know, many of us guys, you know, we know that scenario. You're caught red-handed, but yet you still try to play the lie. You still try to play the game. Nah. You still try to rationalize it. Just take us through that particular point which you was walking with. Y'all was walking through together.
Well, all right, let me do it like this. I want to give you something from Gigolo to Jesus, which is the very start of the book. Sets up the table, everything that's going on. This is straight from the introduction.
All right.
I want to read just a little bit because it'll give you an understanding of some of the things that we're discussing tonight.
All right.
Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those manipulators of the flesh. That's Ephesians 3:2. Now, I start off the book. In the Bible, God warned against men like me, who are liars, cheaters, destroyers of dreams, and who treacherously feed their ravenous sexual desires. I am not proud to admit that I was among those predators for more than 3 decades of my life, but I can honestly say that I am proof that change is possible. My transformation was not an easy one, and the greatest battle was admitting that I was as venomous as they come. Mm-hmm. And that's the opening paragraph and the opening line that I chose from the scriptures, because the scriptures already speaks about men like the man that I was. When the Bible tells you to watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those manipulators of the flesh, well, the word is warning against men who have inundated themselves with finding ways to gain access to a woman's flesh. And so women have to guard themselves, because the trick is he more interested in the physical than he is the spiritual? Is he more interested in the things he can gain from you than the things you two can gain from the Lord? So we have to use the scripture as a defense as well as a learning tool, because it is a living document. It is a living document because each person who places their hands on it will take and get from it what the Lord wants for them to have. But there are some things that are clear. Now, in my case, I knew of the Lord. I did not know the Lord where I committed to being what he asked me to be. So I was like most men that was out here. I did what felt natural. I did what the older men around me said you should do. I had no father in my life until 39 years. So, for like I said, for over 3 decades, I was living with the lower half of my body, and every part of my being was centered around how can I conquer a woman's defenses to get close to the flesh. So I was one of the guys waving a flag for the devil out front, leading his army. Let's go. Because if that's what's going to help me get what I wanted. See, the key is a true relationship is about sacrifice to the Lord and sacrifice to your partner. You cannot get there if it is still about you. So you must give in and commit to the idea of it being a we, us, not me and mine or whatever. So in my wife's situation, when we were dating, by leading her to the Lord, once I started to change my life around, she was able to hold me in place until I was able to completely submit to the Lord and then take my position at the head. Most men are not taught that. Even church-going men, a lot of men are not sat down and explain what true commitment to God is about in terms of relationships. We talk about being respectful to women. We talk about being nice to women. We talk about being there for our sisters. But we don't truly sit down and make them understand what a Boaz was, what a lot of these men, what David was. These men, my dog wants to get in on the conversation. These men were, as you and I have talked about, and I'll talk about later on this week, Proverbs 31 men. Now, I know a lot of y'all are going, Proverbs 31 men, I ain't never heard of that. Well, no, you haven't. That's something that I created, and I'm explaining to you what a Proverbs 31 man is.
Mm-hmm.
If too often in church we hear preached on Mother's Day about the Proverbs 31 woman, all the details of what a Proverbs 31 woman should be and what she is. Well, you never hear preached what a Proverbs 31 man should be. Because how did Boaz know that when she lays at your feet, she's submitting in the Israel way? Because if he didn't know, if she had cuddled up next to him, he'd have thought that was the way. And the things that men have to learn and learn to be in position with God comes from being that type of Proverbs 31 man. So when a Proverbs 31 woman is in your midst, you know what you're dealing with. See, if I don't study to know what God requires from a woman, I don't make the woman the choice that I should of the right woman to be with me. And I believe that many of our brothers in the church are dropping the ball because we're not taking our younger brothers and teaching them how to be Proverbs 31 men so they understand what type of woman they actually should see and want, because they see it as a reflection of who they are as a man.
You know what? It's like a lot of brothers and sisters, when they come to church, you know, you hear the older saints be like, "Well, you gotta be holy. You can't fornicate and all that." And I'm with that. I'm with that 100%. But I think the mistake is that we don't sit these young kids down and we don't be like, "Why you shouldn't?" They hear no, but we're not explaining why. We're explaining like the spiritual aspect about it, the spiritual warfare part about it. You know, about the power of the anointing and the Holy Spirit in your life if you keep yourself holy and set apart. So I think that's very phenomenal. But listen, we're talking to K.L. Belvin, and his wife will be on soon, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, amen, 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. If you desire to chime in or you have any questions, reality, relationships, marriage questions, player questions, you got two brothers on the line tonight that very certified, especially Brother KL and his wife Tiffany Braxton Belvin, amen. So if you're online, if you're tired of holding your phone or iPod, we're on blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot, and you can definitely check us out there. But yeah, Brother KL.
Can I jump in? I want to say something when you mentioned about talking about the fornicating and things like that. One of the things we have to do as men and women in the church is we have to reach kids where they are. Now, I am an educator. I'm a 16-year teacher for the New York City Department of Education.
Right.
And you have to explain that those feelings that a child has, those sexual feelings, are natural. But you have to explain them why curbing them, why not giving in to them, will make their life better when they get married. Just saying be holy, just saying don't give in to it is not enough. You have to explain what feelings are. You have to explain why the Lord gave you that feelings. You have to explain why those feelings are so powerful. Because then you have to make sure that they understand the reason why they want to flee from television that promotes certain things, music that promotes certain things, because it will enhance feelings in you that you may not be able to control. Then you have to give them scriptural foundation for them to see what happens when men and women have given into those feelings, the danger that it creates. Give them the fact that Samson couldn't control himself, and even when he was told to leave certain women alone, he couldn't because he felt he was stronger than anything that was going to be presented to him. You have to show that David, once he became king, standing out on the top of his palace, looked at a woman that he shouldn't have been looking at. So if he had caught himself then and corralled his eyes, maybe he doesn't place himself or his children in the demise that came later on. So we have to be able to use scripture to connect it to what's going on in the world today in a way that our children do not feel overwhelmed, do not feel fearful, but understand that their body is something that they are in control of. See, we say all the time the body is a temple, but if we don't teach the children or other adults how to handle that temple, well, there's some demons sitting in the temples right now in churches around the country. But what you think is going to happen
to
children if we don't actually allow them to gain control? Kids are curious by nature. So if you just say don't do, you almost might as well say go get it.
Because go and get it, yeah.
If a child don't do, they're going to want to know why. And if you're not prepared to explain why, well, then stop telling the child what not to do when you don't have answers. Find someone that can sit with you, or all of you sit together. And this is why I feel small group instruction is needed in church, or should be a requirement in church for everybody, because these are the things that need to be discussed across the table with a group of people. So when a child says, but what happens when this happens? Well, you got to learn to control that. Well, what happens when you feel this? Or what happens when you think this? And you have to learn how to teach a child to place his mind on scripturally things, how to go to the Bible to take his mind off certain things, how to call up somebody that's an accountability brother or sister and say, you know what, I was about to go out and say something or do something tonight, and have someone that's going to be able to speak to them without taking advantage of them, without saying, well, come over here and I'll help you with that. Come over here, sister. Come over here, brother, and I'll help you with that. We got more sexual abuse and sexual things going on in the church than anywhere else, and that should not be.
Oh, yes, definitely. But, Brother K.L., my next question, why does a man hold on to a person they used to be involved with if they are the past, and why are they not the past? So, in other words, the sister may say, well, K.L., why isn't my man still talking to his ex? He ain't with it. He said he ain't with it, you know, her no more, but he's still talking to her on the phone, or he might drop by her house every now and then or whatever like that. What's going on right there? What's going on right there? Paint the picture.
There's no way to answer that without knowing the person. And I think any man or woman that is still connected to the ex, but the current has a problem with it, that man or woman needs to stop. Because your current is your main focus. If your current has an issue with something that you're doing, well, the first thing is stop it. Then you two talk about it, work it out, and then decide why is it needed. If you need to be friends with your ex, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as your current understands that you're friends, and it can't be just you and her being friends or him and her being friends. Everybody got to be friends. You can't be friends with me and you're not friends with my wife. You can't say, come on, KL, let's go ahead, but you don't mention bring your wife along, which happens. People will say, I'm in town, let's have lunch. I'll say, okay, well, my wife and I, your wife, why are you bringing your wife? Because I'm married.
Exactly.
Now, unless I talk to my wife and I say I'm going out to have lunch and I may tell her, I may say, you want to come, darling? She goes, no, I'm good, go ahead. Now I'll go. And yes, I've had lunch with other women. I've had lunch with exes. I talk to them. The idea is that I'm going to check with home first. Now, I don't care
first.
If I say, so you checking in with your lady? Damn right. I'm checking in with my lady because.
So
home,
somebody see you out there. Somebody
I'm
see
not
you
worried
out
about
there.
People see me. I'm not worried about people seeing me because people can say what they want. People can try to shape anything they want. It's a matter of respecting my home first. I don't care about what other people think about my relationship. I don't care what other people try to do because you got to understand, we live in a world where people will use anything that they can to try to sever your situation just because they're unhappy with theirs. Misery loves company.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, before I do anything that I believe would be disrespectful to my wife, I'm going to check with her to make sure that everything's okay. And then if she says it's okay, well, then I'm not worried about what other people think. Now, we've been places and people will say, you let your husband go do X, Y, Z? Let. Y'all have no idea what the concept of relationship is. If you're talking about let, you let your dog go outside. You don't let your husband go out. You don't let your wife go out. You talk. And if my wife is going out to have lunch or dinner, go ahead. But we talk about it at home first.
I'm loving this, Brother KL. 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. You just press 1, and you'll get on to this conversation. Amen. If you have any questions pertaining to marriage, love, relationships, the phone lines is packed right now. You can definitely make your voice heard. Amen. So, Brother KL, why when a woman, right, where they dealing with a woman that just broke up in a relationship, or they dealing with issues of the present, then another guy, some knucklehead will come along, and she'll fall right for that guy, or the next guy number two. What's going on with that?
Again, no way to know what's going through a person's head. Each situation is different, so there's
different,
no way to paint everyone with a broad brush. I knew that there was some type of damage in the first relationship, maybe that might make sense. With the second relationship, sometimes people just don't like to be alone, so they quickly jump into the next relationship. Sometimes the next relationship looks so much better because of the pain from the first. There's no way to know or to give that a solid answer. What I would tell anyone that's just got out of a bad breakup or a relationship, take a minute to breathe. Take a minute to self-evaluate what role you played in the relationship. Take a deep breath on what role your partner played in the demise of the relationship. And if you deem that it was nothing that you had to do with it, and it was just them not getting themselves together, okay, if you want to go out and date. And my wife and I joke all the time because my wife says dating. And when I say dating, I'm always thinking of something physical. She says, well, you know, women date. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Men don't date. But we laugh and joke about it because be in control of you. And I wouldn't rush out, be with someone else, unless I really have myself together after that relationship. Because if the relationship had any type of emotional effect on you, you don't really want to go out there while your defenses may be weakened, where you're open suggestions, or you're just really trying to heal or get past the pain. If there is no pain and you're perfectly okay with it, go on out there and have a good time in terms of dating, but just be careful that you don't get caught up in something with the next person that you don't want to be in.
Okay, right before we go to a commercial break, I'm going to ask you one last question before we go to a commercial break. What is the difference between dating a woman, going out with a woman, and courting a woman?
Well, really, again, it goes back to the individuals. Dating, you're going out on a date. You're having a night out, enjoying each other's company, a movie, dinner, a play, a show, whatever. You're having a good time. You wanted company for the evening. You asked a person to go out. And courting could be the same thing. But courting to me, and this is just my own personal opinion. I don't want anybody to jump down my throat, but if you like, try. Courting to me is where you know you are pursuing the person to get to know them because you want something more. Because now the conversation will take on a whole different feel when I'm courting, whereas when I'm dating, it may be just very general. We may even decide just to go Dutch because this is, you know, good night out or whatever, having some fun. And, it is what it is. Now, courting, I may be on my Barry White, and I may be out trying to be a little impressive. I may be out saying, well, let me grab that tab. You know, can I see you again? And can we talk some more? And you're clearly showing that there's an interest. So I believe there is a difference between courting and dating, but I believe the person, both individuals, have to make sure that the lines of communication are clear so there are no misconceptions and miscommunication on what exactly it is that y'all are a part of. And I think this is where we get into very gray areas because you have to learn how to be you have to learn the basics of communication. A person should not be trying to figure out what you're trying to say. Speak clear, speak concisely. Make sure a person understands exactly what it is and that at the end of the evening, end of the afternoon, end of the whatever, that your intentions are clear. Can I see you again? Or I'll just call you. Listen, you want to hang out sometime? We'll get together. Make sure it's clear. If the person says, want to go out tomorrow? If you know you don't want to, say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I have plans. But be polite. But be clear. So this way there is no misconceptions. Now, if somebody wants to try to draw their own conclusion to something you were very clear about, well, that's on them.
Amen, amen. We're on the line with KL Belvin. When we come back from our commercial break, we're going to have the queen herself, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. You're on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program.
I don't know what's waiting on me in the future. I just don't know. I don't know what I'll be doing 10 years from now. I just don't know. But I believe that I'll be singing or teaching God's holy word. Oh, it's in my heart. It's dark and dreary. I can't hardly find my way. Sometimes my burdens get so heavy that I can't stop having sleepless nights and lonely days. But I believe if I keep holding on, God is gonna comfort me and keep me strong. Cause it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is. It's way down on the long, long time. I'm not gonna give up. Said I got a made up mind, yeah. I've been lied on, mistreated by my so-called friends. But if I had another chance, I'd do it all again. It's in my heart. To know I'm not doing this for shape, form, or fashion. I just want you to know that down in my heart, the reason I'm here tonight, because it's in my heart. And I want you to know, I want you to know, Mama and Daddy, when I was a little boy, Mama and Daddy raised us up in the church. They didn't send us to Texas, they took us to church. Can I get a witness out there? And if we got to the church house and act like we didn't want to go in, Mama would catch me in the collar and she'd drug. Mama and Daddy drug us to church house. I wish I had a witness out there. Planted it in my heart. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good Lord. It's in my heart. Many times we didn't get paid, y'all. But I kept on singing anyway because I had it in my heart. Can I get a one witness? Can I get a one witness? Deep down in my heart, yeah. Wait a minute, I'm not through yet.
It's in my heart.
Y'all act like y'all don't know what we're doing up here. Come on.
It's in my heart.
Yeah.
It's in my heart.
If you got it.
Yes, you are now back on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. I have K.L. Belvin and his wife, Queen Tiffany Braxton Belvin, amen. They are CEOs of Braven Publishing, amen. They are reality relationship experts. You can get in with your questions at 347-945-5416. You can press 1. We're also on blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot. The chat room is open, so you can definitely go on there. But right now, I'm joined by Queen Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Woman of God, how you doing?
I'm great, thank you. I'm blessed. Thank you for having me.
Amen, amen. We just been on here giving your husband a hard time. I hope you don't mind, amen.
He can take it.
Well, listen, I'm just gonna ask you this, amen. Because I know you already got the answer ready, but I'm gonna ask you, why is it so hard for a man to adjust to an independent woman?
You know, my answer may not be popular. I think it's hard for a man to adjust to an independent woman because too many of us are trying to be too independent. And I say this from experience. And even with my relationship with KL, while we were dating, and early on in our marriage, I had to learn how not to be so independent. Because growing up, I was the oldest of three children. I graduated high school and started college at 16. At 18, I had two jobs. By the time I was 21, I was making more money than both my parents. So I was used to being able to take care of myself. So it was hard trying to be in a relationship with someone and not be independent. And you have to learn. It comes from experience. You have to learn that it's okay to count on your partner.
Mm. That's real right there. So let me ask you a question. How can a woman make a good man a better man? What are your thoughts on that?
A good man, a better man?
Yes.
Support, communication, and sometimes even being quiet.
Oh, wow. I know the sister screaming like, what?
Say it again. Silence.
Sometimes silence is the best answer. Because too often, especially when we're in an emotional situation or a volatile situation, we're ready to jump and hit the floor running and get things done. Sometimes you need to sit back and be quiet and just take everything in to see what is the best way to approach any situation.
But men too.
Yeah, men too.
Men too.
That's true.
Men have to learn that sometimes you can't bogart the situation. You gotta let your woman breathe like wine, and take a step and let her figure out her way and just be there to support what she comes up with. It's not always for the male to have the answer. Sometimes the Lord is gonna speak to the female, and you gotta let the female do her thing, and then the two of you rock out with the answer if you believe in her and love her.
Absolutely.
So I think just like with Abraham and Sarah. You know, Abraham was having a hard time letting his baby mama go, Hagar, and God was like, look, listen to your wife. Your wife want to go. Listen to your wife. You know, so she didn't have to step to Abraham, like, you know, again, like, look, I done told you I'm not feeling this woman. You know, God got on him, like, look, listen to your woman. Got up early in the morning, packed some bread and some water. I miss you, Hagar, you know, and that was the wrap. But I think with the whole situation when you was talking about, like, Samson and Delilah, I believe Delilah gave him a place to lay his head. She was that woman that had the answers, you know, gave him a place to rest. And, you know, she knew something that a lot of the church girls didn't know. She was able to provide that man with rest and comfort. So now he's just ready to tell her all the secrets. And I see that happen even in the church. A lot of brothers, you'd be like, how'd that brother fall? How'd that brother end up with the wrong woman and stuff like that? The brother was being beaten down, and now he finds himself in a bad situation. So, amen. So, but I want to ask you how important it is for the sister to keep it together, not speculating, like you said, until you have, like, because I read the particular Lord of Jesus, and I mean, how are we just going down? I mean, the relationship between you and KL. I think we have a phone call. I'll get back to that question. Amen. Caller, you on the line with KL Belvin and Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Have your name?
Evangelist Williams.
Hello, Evangelist. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm enjoying the program. I have a question for Tiffany. First, I want to commend you and congratulate you on putting us plus women in recognition on the map. Thank Amen.
You. Thank you.
And then I want to ask a few questions. When did he cheat on you? Was it before or after you were married? And how long was the forgiving process? And when did you come up with your code name, your code word?
The code word?
Christian.
Oh. Okay. Well, the infidelity took place before we were married, and actually it was 3 years into our relationship before I found out the first time that KL had been unfaithful.
It was longer than that.
No, actually it was the first time, 3 years in, and honestly, it was by accident. I thought I was in be considered the perfect relationship. KL did everything he was supposed to as a supportive partner, and he took care of home. And if someone would have came to me and said, oh, KL's cheating, I would have thought they were lying. I was caught completely by surprise. But the healing process, I can't say that there was any specific time, because it was the first time I caught him, a second time I caught him, a third time. And it's funny because people will ask, well, how many times has Kale cheated? Or, oh, well, Kale cheated 3 times. No, Kale got caught 3 times. He cheated plenty. And I just want to make that clear, because a lot of times women go through emotions and they deal with, oh, well, I caught him once, he only cheated once. He only cheated once that you know about. And healing process was ongoing, especially with each time that something would be revealed, of course, it would reopen a wound, which would make it harder to heal. Once I found that he was taking ownership and saying, you know what, I need to get it together, I saw the change. He had an accountability brother. He started going to Bible study. He started making an effort, and it was visible to me. I can't say that if that effort wasn't visible, that we would be here today. Because like Kale mentioned,
we wouldn't be together, no.
like Kale mentioned earlier, you have to see a change. Someone can say, oh, I will change, or I have changed. But if you don't actually see it, then there's no proof.
And remember, liars are gifted at words anyway. They have to lie to themselves first before anything else. So telling you that he's going to be different because it's going to allow him to stay in the warm house, the warm bed, telling you that he'll never do it again and that chick means nothing to me, to keep you from bashing his head in or calling the police or whatever, or taking all his money out of his bank account, yeah, he's used to lying. So what's now a lie under duress? It's a lifeline in his eyes. It's the actions. It's the actions after the lie. That's what, and I still to this day push as hard as I do in the relationship so she never has any doubts. Even though there's no reason to doubt in the marriage, it's just something I do as reassurance because I feel I owe her so much for hanging in there through all that trash.
Brother KL, you know what part in the book that really got me? The part in the book that really got me is that about your relationship is that when she knew about it, when she knew about the creeping part, and then she said nothing, and then that morning she rocked your world as a woman. I mean, she rocked your world, and then, you know what I mean, and then, you know, she busted you in the car, and it's like it's like the way you told it in your book, it's like I was right there. I was like, oh snap. And then walked off in the sunset, and then you had to go and continue your day, your job as an educator. And I don't even, I mean, just
did
for those
not,
who don't even
Brian trying to, I had to call my sister to get an interview. I was like, please, just tell her to call, pick up the phone so I can talk to her.
You know, Faith,
wow. You
know, one thing, and Kale knows, and a lot of my friends know, that I'm not about drama. So when I realized that Kale wasn't telling the truth, and he realized that I realized he wasn't telling the truth, it was more so, you know what, let's just end this here. It doesn't, and I've always said to him, at any time you no longer want to be in this relationship, just let me know. You don't have to worry about me cutting your clothes up or
I don't want to be in this relationship.
Busting the windows out your car. It's just, if I can't make you happy, then I want you to be happy with someone else, if that's what's going to make you happy, but I can't sit back and allow you to tear me down. I can't sit back and pretend that certain things weren't going on. So that was funny. That particular part of the book was when that happened, it was because I had witnessed so many women go through what I call losing your dignity, the crying, the emotional, the screaming, the cursing, and why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this to me? I didn't want to go through all of that. I didn't have the energy to deal with it. If you don't want to be in this relationship, okay, we'll just end the relationship. You go your way, and I'll go mine.
And the reason I asked that question was because, you know, I've been divorced for 8 years, but I stuck out with a marriage. I stuck with a marriage and was that proverb wife and did everything that I was supposed to do, and then the cheating started, and I understood it, and I stayed quiet. You know, I stayed quiet about it. And then the Lord told me it was time. And when the Lord told me it was that time, then I knew. And actually, when we got divorced, it was very peaceful. There was no fight. People couldn't believe that we were getting divorced. The clerk's office actually shut down the office just to come to the courtroom to believe that we were getting a divorce because it was just peaceful. But there was a lot of damage that was done. And even today, I'm still dealing with those issues of, you know, I forgave him, but there's still things that creep up. And that's why I asked you about the forgiving process. It takes time, and some women heal quicker than others. And sometimes you think you're over it, and then something sparks it, and it's like, oh, I thought you were gone. It's not gone, you know. So the other question, when did you come up with the word Christian for, you know, to keep the peace?
You know, I can't recall exactly when. I know it was during a time KL was in Bible study, and at the time we were both attending church, and I think it was maybe shortly. It wasn't shortly after I was baptized.
For what?
When we started using the code word Christian.
Oh, to keep each other in place. yeah, actually, not too long after Tiff was baptized.
Yeah.
Actually, it was me, not you. Because I would
okay.
I would remind you, you would say something, I go, you can't do that, Christian. And you would go, oh. And then she caught on and would do the same thing back. And so we found it became our way of just reminding each other whom we are.
That's a great way to communicate. That's really a great way to communicate because it keeps the peace.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we talk about it in our seminar. We have a seminar that we created called Making Marriage Cool Again. One of the things that we talk about in our seminar is that communication is actually on our blog, makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you scroll down to last July, we did part of our seminar when we was in North Carolina at a event, and we did it on communication because that's part of the seminar. And one of the things that we talk about with communication is that it should be free-flowing. It should be like water. There should be nothing that blocks the communication in the relationship between the husband and wife because that's actually what helps keep things at a very homeostasis basis. And what that means is a neutral basis. The body is always searching for neutrality. It's finding any way possible. If it gets hot outside, you sweat. If it gets cold outside, you shiver. The body is always trying to find a way to get itself back to 98 degrees Fahrenheit. So in a relationship, you have to find a way to get things back to a neutral state, or that unbalancedness will actually create a problem between the two of you. So communication is the key. It has to be like water. And when you try to block up water, it'll build up until it explodes.
Mm-hmm. It'll explode,
so it has to be free-flowing. And there's nothing that – there should be nothing that you can't say to each other, and nothing should be said outside of the relationship until it's been discussed inside the relationship, unless you're going outside to get help on how to bring it back into the relationship. Hence, this is what opens up the door to the accountability brothers and sisters that you can go to get the help needed to come back into your relationship to fix things. We also talk about an impartial referee. One of the subjects that we talk about in our seminar is having an impartial referee. For us, it is the scriptures, it is the Lord. That is why we remind each other we use the word Christian. But if someone is not of a Christian background, not of a religious background, well, then you have to find someone who is respectful to the two of you, who is impartial, that you'll be able to go to help you manage things so this way it's fair. Because if not, you have to have a referee. Because if you try to do it on your own, listen, we don't play fair, especially if we're hurting.
Absolutely.
So you need to have something that's going to be able to cut that balance that you both respect.
Well, Brother K, I think we got another caller. Caller, you on the air with KL Belvin and Tiffany Braxton Belvin. May I have your name, please?
Hello, this is T.
Hey. What's up?
Hi, Faith, Tiff,
Thursday night. Wow, this is reality relationships, huh?
Well, now you know I'm gonna come out with some good stuff. First off, I want to know now: is it a difference? Is it a difference in different marriages, or if you're married, you're married? is it a such thing as being like a spiritually married, or are you in a marriage? I feel like marriage is marriage. It's when two people join in holy matrimony. So correct me if it's different types of marriages. That's what I need to say.
Well, I can say, because I've had friends, and I've also heard people refer to being in a spiritual marriage versus a legal marriage. And basically, the legal marriage is, of course, being seen in the eyes of whatever state you're living in. You have a certificate saying that you're married. Honestly, I feel before I was in a legal marriage, I was in a spiritual marriage with KL. And so did our families feel that way. His family referred to me as his wife, and he my husband. My family referred to me as his wife, and he my husband. So I just think it's based on a couple that's in a relationship.
I think most people are going to be in a spiritual marriage before the actual legal one, because, and to answer your question, yes, let me first say this to answer your question. Yes, I believe that two people can be in a spiritual marriage because I believe in love at first sight. So because I believe in love at first sight, I believe that two people can be bonded to each other simply because of the connection that they have. Now, taking it and making it a legally binding thing in the eyes of whatever state or country that they live in, that's
right.
Their choice. But I do believe that two people can be spiritually bonded simply because when you look at love as it is, when you look at love the way it's designed, love is something that can alter two individuals' existence. It can even change the way your heart beats. Now, it's been proven that someone that's been in a coma, when they hear the voice of a loved one,
exactly,
can actually alter the stasis that they're in. Some people have come out of comas hearing the voice of a loved one. Now, that has nothing to do with a binding piece of paper or anything like that. It has to do with the spiritual connection that the Lord has given those two individuals. Now, the question is, do they both understand the weight and the gravity of this connection, and then moving that to now becoming a legal thing simply because we are supposed to honor the laws of the countries and the states that we live in? But to answer your question, yes, I believe that two people can be spiritually bonded and then move it on to a different particular place if they choose to.
Okay, but it has to be like both of them in agreeance with that spiritual, right?
Yes.
I would definitely.
I mean, you know, it can't just be one person. That would just be like me being in a relationship with someone, but they're not feeling what I'm feeling. If you're not feeling the same love, then there's no way you can be spiritually married, right?
No.
Well, right, but.
No, you can. Just because the person may not react to it doesn't mean that it's not there. See, that's like saying I love the Lord, and because someone else has drifted away from the Lord, that they stop loving the Lord. They may still love the Lord, but their attention could be on something different. If it's there, it's there. Now, whether a person actually allows it to come all the way in, or they put it out front and it becomes a major part of their life, that's a different conversation. But the actual love can be there. Listen, many of us love the Lord and still go off and do what we do. But if you ask us, do we love the Lord? Yes. Do we honestly believe we love the Lord? Yes. But then we still act on our human side of the things that go on. So to answer your question, it can be one-sided, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that it's not there.
Well,
I think just to weigh in on the situation, just to give a little two-cent in, amen. The Bible says that when it came to the relationship of Jonathan and David, it said that their souls were knitted together. And these were two men. They were two, you know, warriors, two men. You know, the Bible said their souls was knitted together and that David loved Jonathan as his own soul. But they wasn't married. The Bible don't go into marriage. So I think on that issue, we got to kind of be mindful. Now, their souls were knitted together because, like I said, it was a two-way street. It was a joint thing together, you know. A knitting process, it's a fastening together. It's a coming together. So it's like anything. If you just, you know, have something just hanging on, it's just one-sided, it's not going to last. The 347-945-5416, 347 905-541-6. We're on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We're joined by K.L. Belvin and his wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Definitely call in and give your input on what we're discussing right now. But,
and I wasn't finished, Mr. Walker.
Well, you know, I had to put the number out there, sister, so people can chime in.
Okay, another question. If I'm, like, given to you, right, but if I have a problem with you at the end of the day, you know, I go to my girls and be like, you know what, I shouldn't have never did this for him. I shouldn't have never did that. That I was not given from the heart, right?
I agree. You know, it's funny. I always tell people, and it's one thing my mom taught me when I first started dating, don't do anything that you don't plan to do because that's what you want to do.
Right.
If you're doing because you think that's what someone else wants to do, then you're not really doing it genuinely and sincerely. So if I'm going to give, it's because I'm giving and that's what my heart feels to do at the time. It's not something that I would come back and throw in your face and say, well, look how much I did for you.
Exactly.
I don't think it should be that way. It should be, I gave, okay, you did what you did with it, whether you threw it away, stomped on it, threw mud on it. Okay, it was yours to do what you please.
Right, right.
I gave from the heart.
Right. Okay, my last and final thing, the difference between lusting and loving.
Hey,
that's
gonna take all night,
KL. No, listen. I think one of the biggest problems and misconceptions that human creatures have done since the beginning of time is to bring love down to a level that it even is in compared to us, or even used in the same four letter sentence as lust. Lust is a fleshly characteristic at best. Love is equated to the Lord Himself. The two have no comparison to each other.
Amen.
What happens is that too often we mix our fleshly feelings with what should be our spiritual feelings, and the two should be completely separate. You cannot compare something that has been compared to what God is to what something men and women can feel and can turn off and on. You can't turn God off and on. But you can lust off and on. And too often, because we're not in connection or not in control of our flesh, we will allow lust to dictate and make and control a lot of the things that we do. When in actuality, if we leaned on love, if we looked at what God actually gives us as the definition of love in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 10, we'll actually see that most of us don't even know what love is. And you actually have to look at what the definition of love is in the scriptures. And then if you do that, you will notice that most of us don't even reach the pinnacle of what the Lord states should be love. So I think we have to be very careful when we're comparing things, because I can't compare spoiled apples to fresh apples. Yes,
true
apples, but they actually have no connection to each other, because you don't want anything to do with a spoiled apple, but you would love and can do so many wonderful things with a fresh apple. So even though they are still apples per se, the two have nothing to do with each other.
Okay, look, I did say that was my last, but and either one of you, Faith or KL or Tiff, either one of y'all can answer this. Why is it when you think that you're with somebody, you know, you're not even happy with that person until someone else comes around, then you want to put claims? Why is that?
But I guess that would be very difficult, because you'd have to know the individuals per
se.
Because you can't, every relationship is different. And the one thing I can say that many of us, we tend to re-examine what we have when someone else is interested. Look, I ain't going to lie. I catch a couple of young cats staring at my wife the wrong way. I may hate them, step my game up. Hey, what's going on here? All have to, in being human, is that when someone else actually maybe makes an attempt. Now, the thing is not to be fearful of losing your partner, because at the end of the day, your partner will make sure that everything is in place the correct way. I don't have to worry about other men looking right. at Tiff, talking to Tiff, lusting after Tiff, because Tiff is going to take care of that, and vice versa. Tiff knows that I will take care of that. I have been out, and I'm very friendly with women, and I
right.
think sometimes being friendly with women, they'll start to try to ease it, and I'll shut that down long before it gets anything. It doesn't even have to say anything to the women because I'm going to take care of that. And I think that's one of the things in relationships that both individuals, the respect level should be so high that you never actually have to worry about anything like that other than, you know what, thank you for liking my woman. I know she's cute. That's why she with me. And to
right,
the same
right.
thing, because we go through this on a regular.
But I feel like you should go to your partner, not the one that you think that has something to do with that man. Or that woman.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I might check a dude every now and then. Don't get it twisted. Now,
but only if it gets out of hand.
No.
You know, you don't go from the jump and start it.
No, no. I'll do it depending on what mood I'm in. See, the thing is.
See.
No, the thing is, no, I'm serious. Depending on what mood I'm in.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, I let Tiff handle it. But sometimes, if you catch me on a good day, and a person getting a little fresh, I may just call him on a little something just to catch him out there, just to let him know, come on, bro, I'm paying attention. But I'm not going to create drama just
exactly.
for the sake of creating it, because it gains nothing for no one, and it's about teaching. It's about
okay.
trying to show somebody what's the best thing to be. So what I'm going to do is that I may say to somebody, like I said to a brother once, why would you do that? You see me and her together. And so now it's my opportunity to show the Lord in me to be able to express to an individual that, yeah, I could wild out, but why? What am I gaining from that? Plus, I trust my woman. So
yeah.
if you trust your partner, you don't have to worry. But, yeah, there's times I might check somebody, and there's times that Tiff has had to say to somebody, okay,
No.
Excuse me?
See,
I've seen the look. I've seen the look.
Wait a minute. I am from the old school. Never let them see you sweat.
Yeah, right.
I may say
that's true.
I may say something to my husband. I think
hold on, ladies and gentlemen, we got another caller. Sorry to cut you off, Queen. You are live on the mantle of God. The room is getting packed. Caller, may I take your name, please? And what's your question?
My name is Elaine, and I want to know. I've been married twice. Both husbands deceased tragically. One killed himself, the other got in a bad car accident. It hasn't been a year yet. And they were very abusive.
Hmm.
Now, how can you tell the difference between the spiritual love? Because I thought, and those two guys, that I had true love. But then after a while, it started getting verbal abusive, hands-on abusive.
All right.
They say second time is the best time around, but that's a lie. It's not.
Well, this is K.L. Belvin, and I'm going to say this. First of all, my condolences on the passing of your husband's. Sorry to hear that. But one thing I am going to say this. It may be spiritual, but once their actions do not line up with the scriptures, it is no longer about the Lord. Once man or woman does things that is opposite what the Bible tells us to do, but once someone starts to become physically, emotionally, spiritually abusive, that is nothing that the Father would want for his children. And that's the clear sign that it is now a person acting on their human nature instead of their spiritual nature. And it is very difficult to deal with because we want to be in line with the Lord. We work very hard to be aligned with the Lord. And it is tough to try to hang in there, especially when the Lord says, you know, we can make it through anything. But you also have to look at the Lord sees all. So if these men have abused their position in your life as the man in your life, well, then they still have to answer to your Father. So one of the things that you have to understand is that the Father sees everything. So even if with everything that was going on, he's going to take care of you when the time comes for being faithful to him. Because regardless of what happens, we have to be faithful to God first.
Amen.
Even though we love the man that we with, love the woman that we with, we do as hard as we can to stay in line with everything that the Father wants. And the Father will not forget that. He sees it. It's the same thing that we teach children that have very difficult parents. You still find a way to honor them the best way you can within. If it means removing yourself from the environment for safety reasons, you do that. But doesn't mean you have to run him down in the street. Doesn't mean that you have to go out there and speak real negative. You just pray harder. You still have to make sure your safety is in place, but you still stay connected to the Lord. And the Father will take care of all, because there's no reason to stay anywhere and just be hurt for the sake of being hurt. And you and I'll say this to anyone that's listening. You and your significant other do not have to be in the same place, remain in the same place for you to honor the marriage. If I need to go stay with my mother, I need to go stay with my brother, or she needs to go stay with her sister, for us to be able to just have conversations to work our way back to being that godly unit, it doesn't mean that we stop loving the Lord because we're not together. It doesn't mean I'm going to run out into the arms of the next woman because I'm staying at my brother's house. It just means I have moved myself to a place to be able to protect myself while working on the inner workings of the relationship to be able to put it back together, or wait for the Lord to be able to send you word that this is not the case for you. And sometimes things do get better the second time around. Some things they don't. I don't want you to get or feel that the goodness is not going to come around. When the Lord says it's time, it will be. I can't speak for the Lord or know when that time is going to be, but I can tell you that if the Lord says it's going to get better, it is going to get better.
I just wanted to mention also that KL and I contributed to a book written by another author for another publishing company, and the book touched on the discussion of unconditional love and did that really exist. And I do believe that unconditional love exists. So although you may have been in a relationship where you thought you were in love, you definitely were in love, in spiritual love, because the dynamics of the relationship changed doesn't mean that you were not really in love. It just means that the dynamics changed. And although you can have unconditional love, like KL said, that doesn't mean that you need to remain in that relationship, especially if it's abusive. That doesn't mean that you stop loving the person. You may just need to love them from afar.
Until they can get themselves together.
Absolutely.
Or the Lord sends word that it's no longer for y'all two to be together.
Absolutely.
And you also have to look at the outcomes of both of those men. May not be accidents. Don't know. You have to look at the outcomes of things, too. The Lord might have spoken both of those situations, because now you're not burdened with the negativity that both of those men might have brought to the table. And, you know, one taking his own life, maybe it was just the grief of his spirit screaming inside his chest, and the other one having an accident. Maybe the Lord said, okay, that's enough. We'll never know until we get to those gates, but trust that the Lord sees everything, and that anything that you stand on in his name, he's going to take care of you when he meets you. So,
yeah,
I definitely would offer that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that information with us tonight.
And can I ask another question of you all? I have my nephew wife is in the MUS in Charleston. She got sick on Saturday night, and she started swelling. They don't know the condition, but she's breathing on her own now, but she still have tubes in her throat because they want to keep that in there just in case they may have to put her back on the ventilator because she's swelling. I don't know, Ellen, whether she's a guy. She had to be allergic to something. We don't know what it is yet. I was by there today. She can't talk because of the tubes in the nose and her throat. She know we there. A vital sign is good. But they want the swelling. They have to, they can't do too much until the swelling goes down. Could you please pray for her? Her name is Janice Rice.
Brother Faith, you got that? You ready?
Thank you.
Brother Faith Walker. Hello? Did we lose Faith Walker?
Every disease, Lord God, every fowler, Lord God, every pestilence, we should not fear the terror by night, Lord God, according to your word in Psalm 91, Lord God. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you send ministering angels, Lord God, even to where she at right now, and camp around her, Lord God. For we know your scripture says there's a balm in Gilead, there's a physician, Lord God. We thank you that you are a healer, Lord God. We thank you that you're a provider and protector, Lord God. Send the man in what is needed, Lord God, that she may gain strength, Lord God. Strength, Lord God. Touch the body, which is the temple, Lord God. Strengthen the muscles, Lord God. Strengthen the body, Lord God. Lord God, put fresh air in the body, Lord God. Lord God, we know that you're able, God. You're a God of impossible. You do miracles, and you're still working wonders, Lord God. So we thank you, and we praise you right now. We stand in total agreement. When two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst, Lord God. You're not only in the midst, Lord God. You're in the wind through your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory.
God bless. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Listen, we're up against probably 10 minutes or less. This has been the fastest hour and a half that I've ever seen. Amen. KL and Tiffany, they done came through here and caused all kind of wind. And amen. And I thank God for them. Amen. I thank God for this couple that God has raised up in such a time as this. Amen. It's definitely needed with the divorce rates and things that the church is rising at an all-time high. Amen. So, but Brother KL, before y'all go, I want to talk briefly to your wife about her highly anticipated book coming out, The Stop Doggy Posing. Amen. Tell us about that, Queen.
Stop Doggy Posing is basically... people ask me, what is doggy posing? And I always say, if you've ever, excuse me, if you've ever watched the dog competitions, like the Yukonuba dog contest, where they have the best dog in show and the cutest dog.
Wow.
As women, and I'm speaking from experience, we come to the competition wanting to be the best in show. So we do everything that we were trained to do or what we think we're supposed to do in order to gain the affections and the attention of men. And I came up with the idea that we need to stop doggy posing. We need to stop trying to be the best in show, that we need to be the best for ourselves. And then that way we will get a man that is deserving of us. So it's a woman's guide to basically regaining her dignity. And I'm going to put it out there. I'm not going to sugarcoat. I may step on some toes. I may hurt some feelings. But I'm speaking from experience, because before I was married, I also dated. So I'm definitely speaking from experience.
Amen, amen. I think we got another call before we go. Carla, are you there? You're on the line with KL and Tiffany.
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, what is your name?
Sister Tony. My name's Tony.
Okay, Sister Tony, you have a question. You have a question for KL and Tiffany, reality and relationship experts.
Well, I heard a little bit of what's been discussed thus far about marriage and the spirit, and a lot of women were sharing different things and asking questions. The last one pertaining to abuse, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I just consider it this way. God said the woman is to submit unto me. And I think sometimes that submission is taken for a weakness, so we can allow certain abuses. It might not necessarily be physical, it could be verbal. But in reality, we do God a dishonor when we allow ourselves to be mistreated. Though he said submit, we're not supposed to become punching bags or verbal trash cans. We're really supposed to keep our own self-respect, as well as honoring whoever that man is. So that was my thoughts about that.
No, and I'm glad you said that, sister, because that's what I was speaking to about. The minute that the relationship becomes ungodly, the minute that it becomes opposite the scriptures, and the minute that it becomes opposite the very faith that we claim to have, well, then it's not about God anymore. It stops being about the Lord. Submission only means that you're giving in to the idea, not submitting to someone as if you're a slave. And that man, a woman can't submit to the man if he hasn't submitted to God, which is going to be evident in the things that he does and how he lives his life. And women, and that goes back to what I said, that I don't know if you heard it earlier in the show, I mentioned about being a Proverbs 31 man, is that you have to know what God is asking you to be so you can actually understand when you're in the presence of a Proverbs 31 woman. So it's actually, it's a mutual thing. The minute that a man or woman stops being what God has asked them to be, the way that he asked them to be, whether it's physical, spiritual, as I said, emotional, verbal abuse, spiritual abuse, any form of abuse is not what the Lord intended any relationship to be. So it stops being about him once you take it to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you for sharing that. And I hope that people pay attention to that. And that's why I said to the young lady that called in, if it means stepping out of your house to go stay somewhere else to protect yourself, you're not stepping out on your marriage. You're just placing yourself in a safe place. You're not doing your marriage a disservice. You're actually helping your marriage because now you can actually work on either fixing it or whatever the Lord is going to have you do. But you cannot stay somewhere and be damaged just because you're trying to honor the marriage. No. The Lord wouldn't place you, wouldn't want you to be in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too often this is where having an accountability brother and sister helps out, because you need to have someone that you can call and speak to who can actually say to you, move yourself from that situation. Come stay here with me. Do whatever until you can get things in order to see what it's going to be. You're still honoring your marriage. You're not out being with somebody else. You're not loving your partner. You're just placing yourself in a position and asking them to get help in the Lord's name.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate all that's being said.
Thank you.
All
thank you,
sister. Amen. Amen. Listen, I think we're probably 2-3 minutes or less or better. If this program happened to be cut off, you can catch the remainder in the archive. That is at blogtalkradio.com/Nathan on the spot. That's NathonOnTheSpot, one word. You can definitely check the archive for tonight on the 11th. And definitely pick up the rest of this conversation, because this is something I definitely don't want to rush, amen, for the sake of time, amen. But Brother KL, I know you're a busy man. We'll be on the air at Reality Relationships Thursday night on GQ Palace, amen. You Google GQ Palace, KL and Tiffany Belvin, Reality Relationships. That's at 8 o'clock, amen, on GQ Palace Radio, amen. So definitely check that out. Like them on Facebook.com and also in the Praisement Media Group International on Facebook.com. Tell a friend, tell a friend. Amen. And give out your links, Brother KL, while you're at it, while we got a minute or less. We might get cut, but nevertheless, I want your links to get out there.
No problem. If they want to reach us on Facebook, it's author KL Belvin or Tiffany Braxton Belvin on Facebook. On Twitter, it's author KL Belvin, Braven Books. On Twitter, our website is www.BravenPublishing.com, and Marriage Cooling, because we have a blog spot, so it's makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com. So if you can't remember any of that, then KL and Tiffany Belvin, and you'll actually see all our pages come up in the various sites.
Amen. Listen, that's a show for tonight. Amen. We're going to have KL and Tiffany back on here. And if you want more, you can catch us over there Thursday night. We'll be talking about treacherous women on there at 8 o'clock on GQ Palace. I'm your host, Faith Walker, the minister, amen. We got K.L. Braxton, K.L. Belvin, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, amen. I know you're going to tell me about that later, brother. Amen. We're gone in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.
Amen.
I want y'all to help us. Come on, rise to your feet. I've got evidence. Say it.
I've got it.
I've got confidence.
I've got confidence.
I'm a conqueror.
I'm a conqueror.
I know that I win.
I know that I win.
I know who I am.
I know who I am.
God wrote it in his plan.
I know it is his plan.
For me. I think y'all got it all over.
my name.